Take your Bibles again and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Isn't the presence of the Lord so wonderful? I just want to repeat a few things I said last week, because in this class we are simply following the wind of the Spirit. The anointed life is what I'm calling this class. And I'm dealing with a very important truth in God's precious word in this session tonight, as I began last week. Again, we look at verse 18, praying always, as Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, notice two things about this verse. Praying always, not sometimes, praying always, daily, with all prayer, all supplication, all watching, all perseverance for all saints. Notice the emphasis, the very strong expression, that the very powerful, overwhelming force we see in this verse, where he says all prayer, all supplication. And now he says that we are to persevere, and then in the heart of it, all of this must be in the Spirit, not in the flesh. So all prayer that is not in the Spirit is not prayer. So look just once again at this verse. He says praying always. Praying always means exactly what it says. Daily, continually, constantly. And not only are we to pray always, we're to pray always with all prayer, every dimension of prayer, that is. Whether it is intercession, supplication, thanksgiving, and so forth. We are to pray, the Bible says, in the Spirit. Now, you remember what I said to you last week, that true prayer, and the only prayer God will hear, is the prayer born by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So all we become really is a vehicle that the Holy Spirit uses in prayer. There is no such thing as a man or a woman saying, I am in prayer. Because the flesh can't pray. Man cannot pray. Remember that they came to the Lord and said, teach us to pray. And when he was through teaching on prayer, the focus was not on man. The focus was on the Lord himself. Paul the apostle took this further as he taught the church. The only prayer God hears is the prayer he prays. Not the prayer you pray. Because the prayer you pray is in the flesh. So, the only person God listens to is himself. And all you are is a vehicle he uses in prayer. You do not know God's will. Only he knows his will. Let's go to Romans one more time, chapter 8. I know this is new to some of you, but that's what the Bible teaches. I want to teach on, and have been on, teaching on, I want to continue today, prayer in the Spirit. Notice that Paul said all prayer is to be in the Spirit. Well, what is prayer in the Spirit? Prayer in the Spirit means prayer in union with the Spirit. That's what the word in means. It means one with, united with, in union with the Spirit of God. So he is the one who prays. We don't pray. We don't know how to pray. In fact, the prayers we pray are rejected. I know that's a shock to people. Say, you mean to tell me when I come to God, he won't listen to me? Well, let me answer it by saying, well, let the Bible really answer that question. May we just let the Bible answer this rather than you just saying, well, Benny Hinn said. Well, forget what Benny Hinn said. Who cares what Benny Hinn said? Let's see what the Lord has to say about this. Verse 26, Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, King James says itself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, God the Father who searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit who's praying through the saint, because he, the Spirit, maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we cannot pray. We don't know how to pray. Why? We don't know God's mind. We don't know God's will. The only one who knows the will of God is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, you remember that I began last Monday to give you the steps we see in the Bible, not the steps I'm giving you. The steps we see in the scriptures are quite clear. Acts chapter 12, verse 5 is the first. It says that the prayer they prayed was unto God. When the saints came together to pray, it says unto God. Let me just show it to you one more time, because that is the key that is so important. Most people miss it. The Bible says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, the word unto God clearly means face to face. You cannot talk to the Lord unless you're face to face with the Lord. Because most prayer is not unto God. Most prayer lacks fellowship with the Lord. People pray and they're not really talking to the Lord. They're just praying to get something out of their, just out so they can feel better. So what is prayer? Prayer is not getting it off your chest. Prayer is not getting your needs out of you so you don't die or you don't get ulcers, whatever. Prayer is unto God, first of all. And that means before you utter a word, make sure you're face to face with him. Yes. Haven't you ever had someone tell you, I want to talk to you, but not on the phone. I want to see your face. Well, just what God is saying to you. I don't want to talk to you on the phone. Don't send me a tape. You know, I mean, this is kind of funny, but it may help you understand what I'm getting to. I had a friend of mine many years ago. It's kind of funny fella. He used to make us laugh. And we went to a Christian camp. Every morning at 5 o'clock, the rang bell, we all had to get up for prayer. Well, most of us were half asleep and didn't know what we're saying. And he made a statement. He made a comment. We all laughed and we thought it's a great idea. He said, we pray the same thing every morning. He said, I might as well tape it and play the tape and go back to bed. That's what he said. He said, we pray the same thing every morning. I might as well just tape my prayer and tomorrow just push the button and go back to sleep. That's what most people do. All they do is push the button. The same old thing. Lord, forgive me, bless me. Blah, blah, blah. It's the same old thing. You know why? You're not face to face. When you are face to face, everything is different. unto God means you better get there and wait for him till he gets there. And that will require waiting upon the Lord. And that is the biggest, that's the battle right there. That's where you're going to fight your biggest battle, is while you sit there and wait for the Holy Spirit to move upon your heart. Look, we've all experienced it. You get to the presence, you get into God's presence, and your brain is empty and dead. You have to play a worship tape to resurrect it. Or read the scripture to get something, some life back in you. Isn't that right? Waiting upon the Lord is the biggest, that is the hardest thing to do. Because you're coming out of the flesh. You're so accustomed to being in the flesh, it's hard just getting out. You got to get out of the flesh in the spirit. And the way you simply do that is by waiting upon the Lord. And the promise of Isaiah becomes reality. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Yes. You got it. Why must you renew your strength? Because you're so weak you can't pray right. You're so out of it you don't know what to say. So what do? Wait. Now, I've heard all kinds of messages on what wait means, and none of them, forget it. Wait means wait. Doesn't mean anything else. Don't try to make it into something else. Wait means wait. It doesn't mean dance. It doesn't mean sing. It doesn't mean worship. It means wait. That's tough. I heard a guy years ago say, well, wait means minister. I said, well, why didn't he say minister? He said, wait. Wait just means exactly what it says. Just shut up and sit down and do nothing. Just wait. Look, you wait for a dentist. Yeah. Wait for a lawyer. Yeah. And they keep you waiting outside for a whole hour. Why don't you, can you just wait on God? He said, do what? Wait. Yeah. Just wait. He's not blind. He can see you there. So don't, hello, Lord, I'm here. He can see you there. Now, once the Holy Spirit begins to move on your heart and you'll know it, then prayer is born. Now it's not you blabbing some whatever, and you have to repent for what you just said. Let the Holy Ghost pray. It's the only prayer he'll hear anyway, so don't waste your energy on yourself. Now, when the Holy Spirit begins to move, something is going to happen to you, and that something is what constant prayer means in Ephesians 6. When the scripture speaks about watching thereunto, what is watching whereunto mean? It doesn't mean keep your eyes wide open. No. It's a spiritual term. It means the same thing we see in Acts 12:5. Constant prayer. Now, that word constant is a very amazing word in the Greek. It means stretched out. It means intensity. Intensely. Stretched outedly. It's like when a baby is looking for his bottle or his food and he is trying to grab it with all his might. It's like a thirsty man in a desert when he finds water. It's that intense hunger for God that doesn't have to be pumped. Some of the songs today that we hear are written out of a hunger that is all flesh. There's nothing spiritual about it. You hear preachers, go after God. Well, you can't go after God till God is going after you. Relax. You've got to have God first do the job. You cannot seek God till he sought you. Yes. Look, it's all flesh. You hear all this stuff and it's dead. How can you look for a God who's not looking for you? What did Jesus say? You didn't even choose me. I chose you. And one of the greatest truth that I can give you. No man can seek God till God has sought the man. How can you go after God till he begins to pull on you? Quicken me. David said in Psalm 80, verse 18. That's one of the most amazing truth. Psalm 80, 18 says, quicken me and then I'll call on you. You can't call on God till he has quickened you to call. Well, how does God quicken you? He quickens you first as you wait in his presence, and then after a season of a half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours, who cares? That's the price you pay. The price you pay, just sit there and do nothing. That's the price you pay. Because most people become so restless and so itchy, they got to do something. They got to say hallelujah or something. No, God did not ask you to do a thing and just sit there. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? And then they shall what? Now the wind shows up. Your strength is renewed. Suddenly you can pray. Why? Because the Holy Ghost, the spirit of prayer who cries, Abba Father, has shown up. Look, Paul the Apostle clearly stated, it's the spirit who cries, Abba Father. You don't. Nobody can say, Father. Only the Holy Ghost says, Father. But he says it through you because you're his children. But it's all in the Spirit. Say in the Spirit. Now suddenly as he begins to pray, strength is there in you. You become renewed. Next thing you're going to experience is what I just talked about. This stretched outedly, this intensity, this looking to the Lord with intensity. In fact, it's clearly explained in Hebrews 5:7, where the scripture speaks of Jesus praying with strong tears. The way the Lord prayed is in the Spirit. That same word is used in Romans 15:30, where Paul says, "Strive together with me." It's the same thought. It's to fight, to contend. It's to put your whole soul into it. It's to stretch out toward God in intense, agonizing desire. Well, you can't do that in the flesh. Because it'll be repulsive to the Lord. Now, the moment you are face to face, that's the first step. The Holy Ghost will show up. He'll begin to breathe. He'll begin to release his breath, I should say, on you. He'll begin to release his presence on you. Suddenly, you'll feel like an eruption of hunger for the Lord. I was sitting in the house of Mervyn Merle Watson years ago, and Merle Watson took her violin and began to play and sing, and you shall seek me and you shall find me when you'll search for me with all your heart. And as she's playing it, the Holy Ghost touched my being. And hunger was born in me that I could not have gotten praying for a million years. Oh God, give me a hunger. Oh, forget it. If the Holy Spirit doesn't give it, you'll never get it. You say, what must I do? You must make your life available to him. See, people that beg are in the flesh. Because begging is not a spiritual practice. Now, when Paul talks about intensity, he's not saying beg. He's saying put your soul into it. But even that is not born by the flesh. And that's why in Romans 8:26, he says, we know not what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself prays for us with what? Groanings that cannot be uttered. That's that intense hunger for the Lord that you cannot produce on your own. You cannot work up your own energy in the flesh. Anything you work up is repulsive. Can I say that again? Anything you work up is rejected. It's repulsive to God. Don't work it up. You're wasting your time and energy. In 1 John 3:22, he made this amazing statement. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing to him, pleasing in his sight. John makes it very clear there is a place that you and I can come to where whatsoever we ask, we receive. Now, precious saints, not many people can say that. Because most Christians are praying still for something they've been praying for 20 years. Still have not gotten their answer. He's saying whatever we ask, we receive of him. I don't know many Christians who can say every prayer they've ever prayed has been answered. John says every prayer he prayed was. Why? Why did he get his answer and most of us do not? And the word of God sheds tremendous light on this. And this is the confidence, 1 John 5:14. I'm answering that question now. In 1 John 5:14-15, you all know the awesome promise. What it says, and this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will. According to what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, wait a minute. Let's really look at this portion here. Let's look at it properly. This is the confidence that we have in him. Therefore, it is possible to have faith, confidence it's called here, that is supernatural, that if we ask anything according to his will, stop right there. I told you earlier, you could not and never will know his will. Because anything you'll know lacks. You can know the whole Bible and go to God and say, you said, it'll mean nothing to him. So what did you say? I want you to pay attention to this now. Remember, only the Holy Spirit knows his will. Amen. Say it.
Only the Holy Spirit knows his will.
And where is that found in Romans 8? Come on. Romans 8 and verse what?
27.
Romans 8, 27 says that the Holy Spirit knows God's will. No man does. You don't even know how to pray. We know not, the scripture says. We know not means we know not. We know not as we ought. Now, the Bible goes on to say that this is the confidence we have in him if we ask anything according to his will. Therefore, that will must be revealed, and that will is known by the Holy Ghost. And now the Word of God goes on to say, and if we know that he hears us, how will we know? Who's going to tell us that he heard us? The Holy Ghost. Therefore, even my knowing that he's listening is spiritual. I don't have a direct call to an angel telling me, is God listening? Or me asking him that. It's known by the Spirit. You see how involved he is in my prayer. How many understand what I just said? Put your hands way up high. You do not know without him. And if we know that he hears us, and the only way you can know is by the Spirit, whatsoever we ask, we know, again, only by the Spirit, that we have the petitions. There we see the flesh having no part whatsoever. We are commanded, pray in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18, Jude 20, in the Spirit, all prayer in the Spirit. So, God answers only the prayers of the Spirit. True prayer is the prayer that he gives. It's the prayer that he directs. So then my job as a Christian, my duty as a Christian is to look to the Holy Spirit in prayer, casting myself completely on him to direct me in prayer, leading me in prayer, guiding me in prayer completely. And if I'm doing it on my own, it's rejected. So nothing then can be more foolish than rushing into God's presence in the flesh. So we have to wait for the Holy Ghost to stir our hearts. Now when he comes and begins to stir our hearts, remember what I said to you, suddenly there is an intensity, there is a wholeheartedness. You put your soul into it, and it's not you doing it, it's just him doing it for you. How many of you ever, I'm sure you've had, but let me just try to describe it. You could not say it, but every part of you was screaming it. Put your hand up high. Who was that doing the screaming? And please forgive me for saying screaming. The Bible calls it groaning. But it's just every part of you was crying that something to God. Well, you can't do it in the flesh. You can't pump yourself into that place. Impossible. Now, the moment that begins, the third thing that's going to happen, I'm giving you the steps. Remember what I just gave you. Unto God, face to face. You got to come and wait. You wait for the Lord, face to face. When he's there, prayer is born. The second he's there, it's going to be an explosion out of you. An explosion of hunger. Desire for the Lord. You don't have to scream at him in the flesh, nor do you have to cry out and pound the floor and beg. Now it's real. Now it's the Holy Spirit. The third thing that's going to happen in you is going to be amazing. And that's why I kind of disagree with some of the wonderful teaching that I used to preach myself. Thank God we all change, huh? About faith. Faith is born. Faith is born when the Holy Spirit shows up. You don't have to repeat the word of God to convince him he said it. Anything you pump is not God. If you have to push it, it has to die. Can I say that again? If you have to push it, it has to die. Because anything you push is not of God. If it's God, it will come out of you with power. You don't have to pump it, push it, force it. So quit pumping. And quit pushing and start living. The minute the Holy Spirit is there, and you'll know he's there because his very presence will resurrect hunger inside of you for Jesus. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be there. He's going to show up. Hunger will explode inside of you for Jesus. You won't have to be singing, I need thee, oh, I need thee, and not mean a word. You'll say, I need you with every part of you. And it won't be you saying it. How many understand? Say amen.
Amen.
See how lovely this is? So simple, isn't it? Faith now is born. And the kind of faith that's born is the real thing. 2 Corinthians 4 says that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. Isn't this so wonderful? If he is the one who gives faith, then why not just wait for him to show up till he gives it? Why must I go read all the faith books to get it? And it doesn't work. Anything the flesh produces is cursed. There's a curse on it. Don't touch it. Galatians 4:6 says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Here we see he is the spirit of prayer, like I said earlier. Now, the prayer of faith is born when the Holy Ghost is there. Now, you all remember James 1, 6 and 7, right? Well, look at it. Come on. Because this answers so many questions. This clears up so much for us believers. James chapter 1, 6 and 7 says, let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because he's not praying in the Spirit. If you're praying in the Spirit, you will not be wavering or wondering or questioning. Because prayer in the Spirit is the prayer of faith. So when it says, let him ask in faith, it doesn't mean convince yourself that God is real and can convince yourself his promises are yea and amen when you pray. Because it's all mental and it doesn't work. Only the prayer that the Holy Spirit will birth, only that prayer will be alive, and only that kind of praying will be the kind of praying Jesus looks for, where in Luke 18:1 he says, don't faint. The flesh faints, the spirit cannot faint. Pray. And you pray and wear yourself out, and you by an hour or two later, you're gone. You can't pray anymore. Everything in you is dead. You got to go for a sandwich. You got to wake yourself up and go get a shower so you can resurrect your body. And what have you accomplished? Nothing. I look back at my life and I see this happening to me over and over, because this body of ours and this mind of ours will not accept it. Like Jacob of old, we are too dependent on the flesh and we keep wanting to side its way. You know what I mean by that? No, maybe you don't. My friend, let me tell you something. God will allow you to wrestle with him only so long. He's not looking for wrestlers. He's waiting for you to quit wrestling and start and begin leaning. He didn't say to him, you're no longer Jacob, while he was wrestling. He said, you're no longer Jacob when he quit wrestling and began leaning. Remember that? I got to show you this, because this is one of the most powerful keys I can give you. Jacob was wrestling with God all night. Remember that? God is saying, let me go. He's saying, no till you bless me. Let me go. No till you Finally, the Lord touched his thigh. Second, he touched his thigh. He couldn't wrestle no more. Now he began leaning. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Now he thank God Cheryl is here. But I can't wrestle with you, Cheryl, so I just wait. So now he began leaning. The second he leaned on the Lord, he was not walking anymore. He was being carried. And God looks at this man leaning on him and says, now, you're no longer a deceiver. You're no longer a liar. You're no longer Jacob. Now you're a prince with God. The only time God calls people a prince is when they're putting their full weight on him. Praying in the flesh uses your own strength. And that kind of prayer keeps you, forgive me, a liar. Did you hear what I just said? Then everything you utter is a lie. I need you. Help me. Forgive me. It's a lie. But the minute you quit praying in the flesh, you can't wrestle anymore. You're leaning on him. He says, now, I've just changed your name. Now you're Israel. You're a prince with God. That is the man of the spirit God is looking for. He's not looking for the man who knows how to wrestle. He's looking for the man who knows how to lean, how to depend on the Lord. The Bible does not teach independence. It teaches dependence, total reliance, surrender to the Lord. When you come to that place in prayer and the Holy Ghost is there, you'll surrender. Everything of the flesh surrenders. Now the flesh dies. And next thing you know, everything you're doing is born by heaven. Heaven begins heavenly things begin to become reality. And faith, which is heavenly, becomes reality. Now you don't have to convince yourself that God said it. Everything becomes tangible, substance, powerful, because the spirit of life is there. Now there's life. The spirit of prayer is there. There's prayer. The spirit of faith is there. There's faith. None of it is you. Now you say, amen. And your prayer has already affected not only just heaven, but the destiny of millions. And tomorrow morning you wake up and you think you're going to get right back into it, but the whole process begins all over again. Because the flesh cannot handle staying in the spirit too long. Please listen to what I said. These bodies are not made to live in the spirit 24 hours a day. Now, there is a place where this body can last for a long period. It depends really on the call of God on your life. You may lose what I'm about to give you. I hope and pray you don't. Are you ready for this? Lord, help me say it with clarity. Very few men in the Bible lived in the spirit 24 hours a day. Very few men. And those that did not know sickness for 1 second. Why do you think Moses, why was he the kind of man he was? Why was it at the age of 120, he was as strong as when he was 40? No sickness touched his body. Sickness cannot invade that realm called in the spirit. John lived in the spirit And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that didn't mean he was just in the Spirit only on that day. He was really saying to you, this is my experience. This is my life. And he was the kind of man who so lived in the Spirit that history says they tried to boil his body in hot oil and didn't touch him. He was in a different realm. Jesus lived in the Spirit. Sickness never touched him. Of course, as the Son of God, he was sinless. But never forget, he came in the flesh. Paul the Apostle lived in the Spirit. Elijah lived in the Spirit. Elisha lived in the Spirit. Few men, really, in the Bible that you and I can talk about who are examples to us. Therefore, it's possible. And it, in fact, James talks about it's possible because he uses Elijah of like passion, he says. God has that place for you if you want it. Now, precious people, I know in this day and age, you think it's impossible, but really it isn't. There is a place for every believer. When I was introduced to this life, I was amazed by some of the things that happened to me. The Holy Spirit, His presence, even though His presence is always there, but there is that tangible substance of the presence of Jesus that you know what I mean. The Lord did not lift that tangible presence from me for 1 year. That's how this ministry was born. I probably slept 2-3 hours a night. It never affected my body. I had strength I cannot describe to you. I woke up in the morning with God's glory in that room. Night after night after night after night, and I'm telling you, God would judge me if I would say something that did not happen. Many nights I would wake up and angels would be standing watching me. I saw them with these eyes. I saw all sizes and shapes. I heard them talking to each other. You get into a realm that is almost unknown to most Christians. It's in that realm God is more real than anything around you. But we've become so accustomed to the flesh, that realm is foreign. And I'm giving you, frankly, from experience. Now, I've had many times, many glorious days since such things happened. But I can tell you there only was one time in my life where it lasted a year. Should it happen again, I don't think I can probably minister anymore. I would have to live on some mountain somewhere and not see any human being. If God ever calls me to do this, gladly. But I'm going to tell you, there's been many times when for a season, such things happen again. Some of them, in fact, quite recent. But I'm amazed that every time God allows it, because He really does, and He wants all of His children to actually live in this blessed reality, if I can call it that, you learn new things that you did not know. Now, I hope I'm not losing you here. And one of the things that is amazing, I don't know how else to say it. Whenever that season begins, when the Spirit of God is just more real than reality in prayer, every part of you becomes extremely healthy. Mentally, physically, everything just kind of gets in shape. It is in that reality that the flesh cannot exist. But I'm going to clear up what I just am trying to say to you. Our bodies need nourishment only outside that realm. I know I just maybe lost some of you. If you live in that realm, you won't hunger for natural food. During that year, one of the things I rarely talk about is how little I ate. It's like my body was never hungry. Isn't that strange? I stayed perfectly healthy, and if you would have seen my diet, it would have killed me in the physical sense. In that realm, your body does not need the kind of things it needs outside that realm. It is absolute heaven on earth. May the Lord bring all of us there. You wonder how Israel lived 40 years in the wilderness. It was the presence of God that kept them. You say, well, manna must have had much in it. It's more than manna. He's the manna. He said, your fathers ate it and died. He said, but if you eat what I give you, you'll never hunger. There's more truth to that than just spiritual. You know, we always just leave it to the spiritual things. Well, Jesus meant I'll never hunger, meaning that, and yes, of course it means that. You have to, of course it means that. But I'm almost treading very carefully here, because I don't want nobody to misunderstand. The spiritual side is so full and so blessed, you can't explain it. But that realm so affects you in the natural that your physical body will be affected, no question about it. It will be so affected, don't let it shock you, that you'll walk out of that room glowing. I would stand and watch Catherine, and I'd just be amazed. I think, did they do something to the lights? That woman's face had a shine to it. Stephen, the scripture says, his face shone like an angel. Why? It's that realm. There's something that happens in that realm that affects you physically. Affects the way you are, affects the way you look. It affects your appetite. It affects your sleeping patterns. It affects your health. I mean, in a glorious way. I promise you what I'm telling you, I experienced. Sickness cannot invade that realm. It is impossible. I have so seen it in the Bible to where I'm amazed by it. Now, I don't want to continue in that thing because I don't want to lose you here. But please understand, this realm is what God is calling you into. All right. Say in the spirit. In that place called in the spirit, it's impossible to hear the voice of Satan. It doesn't exist in that realm. All prayer in the spirit. I am shocked by how many Christians say, the devil. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. He didn't say, my sheep will hear the devil's voice. You got books today out there about what Satan said and what the devil will say. You know, there's an amazing scripture in Job that absolutely explains what I'm talking about here, that I'll take you to in just a second. When the Holy Spirit shows up, like I said earlier, there is a reality that takes hold of that room. Not just your body, the room, the space you occupy becomes charged. And everything in that realm becomes very heavenly. And everything in that realm becomes victorious. It's almost like a piece of heaven on earth. Satan cannot penetrate that realm. I'm not just talking about mind. I'm not talking about... All right. Let me explain. We'd be sitting there just like this, just chit-chatting, talking to each other, thousands of people, waiting for this lady to come on the platform, named Catherine Kuhlman. When that woman walked on the platform, the entire building exploded. It exploded with a reality that was so real, it flushed out of you every worldly thought in a second. You went from earth to heaven when she walked in. Is that getting through to you? I would be sitting there talking to Jim Poynton about whatever. And please forgive me, I mean, you'd sit for 3 hours. Your body is worn out. You've been waiting at the door for another 3-4 hours. Now, please think with me just what your body is like. You've had nothing to eat. You've waited outside in the snow. It's not California, you know, there. Pittsburgh. Or wherever she would go. We'd wait out there, freeze to death out there. Now you get in and you rush in and you're tired by the time you get to your seat. You can't leave to go to the bathroom in case you lose your seat. Forgive me, I'm being just blunt with you. And you can't go to get a sandwich because you're afraid she may come on the platform and then you're going to, or you may lose your seat or something may happen or they may not let you back in. Now, you've been sitting there 5-6 hours, maybe 7 hours, by which time your body is worn out. You're at the point of total exhaustion. She walks into that building, and every part of you is resurrected. It's like instant life hits you. It happened to me. I don't know if it happened to anyone else, but I sure saw it. The comparison with what's going to happen in the next few seconds, you can't compare. Now, you're talking to a precious man about precious things, but those precious things, in comparison to what's about to happen to you, are like, there's no meaning to them. She walks in every time, God is my witness. She walks in, and within not even 2 seconds, you're on your feet, tears streaming down your cheeks, and everything in you is exploding, singing how great thou art. You went from earth to heaven in a second. It's the closest thing to the rapture I've ever known. Except I didn't go nowhere. My spirit exploded with God when that woman walked in. Went on for another 5 hours. I've been sitting already for 7, or waiting for 7. Now she goes for another 5, like 5 seconds have passed by. I'm still not hungry. You walk out, and when you leave, to your shock, you walk out of that door, and you can feel, you literally feel the darkness hit you as you walk out. You aren't aware that while she's been ministering, you were in a heavenly climate. You walk out of that door and the force of darkness that hits you wakes you in a shocking manner and you don't realize that's what you live in all the time. Anybody understand? You know how hard it is to pray in an atmosphere of demonic darkness? That's what we live in almost all the time. Brother, please, I beg you, don't utter a word till the atmosphere changes. Because you would not be free uttering words in the flesh in an atmosphere of death. Is that getting through? That's what the presence of the Holy Spirit will do. It will bring heaven around you. And when heaven is around you, it's very easy to really pray. Because now everything you say is real. So he said, all prayer in the Spirit. Don't utter a word that God is not speaking. But God speaks in that blessed presence, in that blessed atmosphere. I don't know if I've lost anybody yet, but I hope I'm not. Because this kind of teaching is not what we hear about prayer. We hear A, B, C, D. Here are you. All right, fine. There is an ABC, but the ABC exists inside that presence, not out. Let your request be made known in that presence, not out. Pour your heart out to God when he's there, not when he's not there. Wait till he's there. Because when he is there, you'll be in the Spirit. Is that clear to you?
Amen.
And now when you pour out your need, and when you pour out your, it's so easy now. You don't have to repeat yourself and beg and pound and walk out and say, did he really hear me? I'm sitting in Kansas City, and I'll never forget. Even though I've known it, it's like the Lord has to remind you. I'm praying for 2 hours, and finally I just give up. That's what I hope and pray you'll do. Just give up. Quit trying. It's not working. And I give up. And I just waited like I'm talking to you. Within maybe half an hour, the presence of the Lord became so rich in that hotel room. The first thing he said, rich in that hotel room. The first thing he said to me, he said, your prayer insults me. And it shook me, it shocked me, because his voice became now real to me because he's there. He said, don't ask me for the things I want to give you. And suddenly, it's just like the lights came on. When the presence of Jesus is there, what you thought you needed, you have it. It's that scripture, before they call, I'll answer, becomes real. While they're speaking, I'll hear. That's what happens. And all the things I thought I wanted and needed kind of didn't mean a whole lot. And all he wants of you and me is to become vessels for him to use. Vessels of prayer, vessels of intercession. There's only two intercessors I know. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. No human being has ever been called into that ministry. You may be a vehicle that he'll use, yes. In fact, all of us are supposed to be vehicles of intercession. The scripture says we're to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:7. That's almost impossible without being in the Spirit. We are told pray always. Impossible without the Holy Spirit. And we, God love us, you know, it takes us so long to get this truth into our hearts because we're not accustomed to it. We just can't get it. Thank God this class is getting it.
Amen.
Now, I have just given you the simplest way I can give it to you. Prayer in the Spirit is so easy, a child can experience this. And prayer will erupt out of your soul in such a manner, it's gonna absolutely amaze your life. Father, I pray everyone will come into this. Lift your hands and ask Him for it. Come on, He will hear that. Lord Jesus, I pray every person will experience this. That we are going to experience this on a daily basis for your name's sake. Jesus, we give you praise. I exalt thee. Oh Lord, I exalt Job 28, please. Verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, 11. It is so explained in this portion, I pray that the Lord will give you eyes to see it. There is a path, verse 7 says, of Job 28. There's a path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye hath not seen. It's that place I've been talking about. There's a place called in the spirit that no demonic power knows. It says no fowl knoweth it. The vulture's eye hath not seen it. The lion's whelps have not trodden it. Demons have never been there. Nor the fierce lion passed by it. Satan would not dare come near it. It's in that place where God puts forth His hand upon the rock. It's there where God overturns the mountains by the roots. It's the prayer in the spirit that causes God to literally remove obstacles out of your way. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks. It's in that blessed place called in the spirit that the rivers of the Holy Spirit come your way. His eye seeth every precious thing. This is where the precious is revealed. It is there that God binds the floods coming against you. He bindeth the floods from overflowing. It is there that God reveals things to your heart. It says, and the thing that is hid bringeth he forth to light. Now verse 12 says, but where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? See, it's that place called in the Spirit where God's wisdom is revealed, God's word. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. How amazing. This place where God is, where his presence dwells, where you're invited to fellowship in, the scripture says you cannot find it in the land of the living. Men will never find it. The depth says it's not in me. The sea says it's not with me. You cannot buy it with gold and silver cannot be weighed for the price of it. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and crystal cannot equal that place. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold. You cannot buy it or exchange it for any precious thing on earth. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearl, because the price of it is above rubies. And here it talks about wisdom, but remember, it's also earlier spoke about a place. What place is that? That we can find God? The place of wisdom? The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then comes wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Where is that place where God speaks? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Men will never find it in the flesh. Destruction and death say, we've heard the fame thereof with our ears. We've heard of it, but we don't know where it is. Only God, watch this, only God understands the way thereof, and only God knows the place thereof. Jesus, we give you praise. You see what I'm telling you here? Only God knows where that place is. And we all love to repeat the scripture. Come on, let's say it together. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And notice, in that place are the promises of that psalm. You can claim them all you want. They don't work outside that place. No evil shall befall thee. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Where? Where is that place? In the Spirit. Go back to Psalm 91. Let's look at the real promise here. Because we want these promises ours to be ours every day. Precious saints, they only exist in the Spirit. Only in that place of that blessed fellowship. And I want you to read that psalm before we leave. I was going to begin a new teaching with you tonight, but I think let's just allow the Lord to do something here. Can we do that? Remember we talked about wanting to follow the wind here? All right, one more time. I want you to read Psalm 91 slowly. Pay attention to what you're reading and pay attention to where these promises live. Where these promises Where are they? To whom are they promised? Okay, can we begin slowly? Come on. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, when you're in that place, only then can you what? I will say. Say it. I will
say.
Stop right here. Stop right here. Therefore, the word of God is not effective outside that place. You can say and confess all you want outside that presence. It won't work. Only there I will say. Where? In that place. Let's say it. Come on. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Come on. My God, in Him. So the place of faith is only there. When you say, in Him will I trust, I can only live by faith in that place, not outside. Keep going. One, two, three, go. Stop, stop. Surely He shall deliver thee from what?
Snare.
You know what the word snare means, right? Trap. The traps of the devil. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the what? Noisome. Stop, hold it. Remember what I said earlier? Sickness can't live there. Sickness cannot penetrate that place. He shall deliver thee from the snare, from the traps and temptations of the fowler, Satan, and from the noisome pestilence, from all the plagues, the sickness out there. He shall what? Keep going. Come on. He shall cover thee with his feathers and... Wait. Under one more time. Under what? That's right. Repeating the place of faith only exists there. Keep going, please. Wait. His truth shall be what? In other words, the word of God is not alive only in that place. The word of God will have no results in your life outside that place. See, people that are not listening in the spirit are not getting anything. Now, can I have your attention for a second? I can read the Bible for 10 hours. And I have a very good brain, by the way. I can read Jeremiah, which is a very difficult book to understand. And I can tell you everything I've read because I'm smart. But it won't affect one thing in my life. I can be reading history, the history of Israel. I can be reading God's judgments against Israel. I can be reading God's judgment on Moab or Babylon or Elam or Edom. And I can tell you exactly what I read. I have that kind of brain. But after I'm in the Spirit, I've learned not to read the Bible too much till I'm in the Spirit. Because I can read that Bible and tell you exactly what it says. In fact, I can teach it without being in the Spirit. Now, hear what I'm telling you here. I'm not saying I would ever dare do that. I'm just telling you reality. But when the Spirit of God comes on me, it's a new book. And a brand new book. Suddenly, I'm reading it with new eyes. And it talks to me. Suddenly, everything I'm reading is clear, of course. But God is now talking to me. And I don't have to convince myself He is. Remember what Jesus said? He that hath an ear, where do you hear? In the Spirit. You can preach the Word of God to a million people, and if they're not in the Spirit, they sit in their churches Sunday after Sunday and listen to God's Word and walk out and forget what they heard. What good was it to be in church? Might as well stay home and get the tape and listen to it. No. You got to understand something. When the Spirit of God is there, those words will pierce right through your being. And you leave with substance. Change your life. One word will change your life. In the Spirit, read that one verse again, please. You just read it. Come on. Thy truth is what now? Yeah, suddenly the Word of God becomes your shield when you're in that secret place. Becomes your defense when you're in that secret place. Thy truth will be your shield and buckler. What else? Come on. You no fear in your life. Thou shalt not be afraid. No fear. Well, there's your answer on fear. Don't quit reading all those books on how to be free from fear. Get in the presence of God and you will be. How to deal with fear? Just get with Jesus. That's how you deal with fear. Where he is, there's no fear. Isn't that right? So that's what it says. You get in the presence of the Lord and fear is gone. Precious people, I'm giving you the Word of God. I mean, people want all the promises. We sent this beautiful psalm to our people, and many of you ordered it because you want to put it on your wall. It's not good enough. Come on. Let's read it one more time. Please. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes. Now that covers everything that I can think about. You'll not fear anything. Nothing will terrify you. No sickness will scare you. No destruction, nothing. In fact, this gives the picture of you walking in the midst of death and nothing touching you. Because it says 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. They're dying all around you and you're alive walking through. You're walking through death and nothing affects you. Why? You're in the Spirit. You see, my dear brother and sister, anyone living outside the Spirit is going to fall and die. Only those living in the Spirit are alive. Look what else it says. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward. You'll see it, but it'll never touch you. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, what? That's it, isn't it? You're living in that habitation. And in that habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Read with me. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Remember what I said about an atmosphere? For he shall give. Stop. He shall give who? Do you remember what I told you about what happened to me? Angels show up when you're there. If you want to see angels, get in the Spirit. To keep thee in all thy ways, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone, all in the Spirit. In the Spirit, thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lions, the dragon, shall thou trample under feet. So quit making noises. The devil is under my foot, and all you're doing is hurting your shoe and your foot. In the Spirit, you'll crush him. I hope it's getting through. Listen. In the Spirit, you have real shoes. Outside, you're naked. The armor exists only in the Spirit. Oh, dear God, please, Lord, let them get it. How do you put on the armor? In the Spirit. It's all spiritual. when you're in the spirit, you don't have to look for your clothes. They're on. You get in the spirit and your shoes show up on your feet. When you're in the spirit, you don't have to say, devil, you're under my foot. You'll crush him. Only the feet of the man and woman who's in the spirit destroy devils. It says, thou shalt. It doesn't say, may. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lions and dragon, that's the devil, shalt thou trample under feet. Where, when, where? In the spirit, he who dwells in that place. See how easy this is? Why go after all these promises and not find them when all you have to do is be in the spirit? Because he hath set his love upon me. Stop. I got to say this. Stop. Can I tell you something? I learned this years ago. I don't want to keep it, but this is so important. I'd be sitting talking to Jim, Pastor Robert, and Al Perichin. Nothing in my heart for Jesus. Promise you. I mean, it was just waiting for Catherine. Not that I did not love him. Of course, we all love the Lord. We all adore him. But sometimes you're sitting in a service. Your body's tired. You've been waiting at the door for so many hours. Now you're sitting worn out, waiting for the preacher to come on. When Catherine walked on that platform, love erupted out of me. I did not know I had. The love of God is shed abroad by the Spirit. You cannot say, Jesus, I love you, and be real without the Holy Ghost. You can say, I love you all you want. It's empty. Without the Holy Ghost, don't worry about it, dear friend. No. Without the Holy Spirit, that love is not there. Yes, we love him. We all love him. We'd go die for him right now. But that love is unaccepted unless it's in the Spirit. My Father seeks those that worship him in
spirit.
And if it's not, wait. You know what he meant by in truth? He meant anything outside is a lie. He seeks those that worship him in spirit and in truth, meaning only in the spirit is the truth. Anything outside the spirit is lies. I said it to you earlier. The Father seeks those to worship him in spirit, and when it's in spirit, it's the truth. If it's outside the spirit, it's a lie. Because he has set his love upon me, you cannot love him outside that realm. And when I say love him, I mean real love, spiritual love, Holy Spirit love. And Paul talks about that love in Romans 15, verse 30, where he says, because of your love in the spirit, you can't even love a brother without that. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll set him on high because he's known my name. Stop! I'm sorry I'm keeping you, but I got to tell you. You can say in the name of Jesus all you want. It will not work outside that realm. You know why demons don't flee when he's saying Jesus' name? Because you're saying it outside that realm. Wait till the Holy Ghost shows up, and when you say in Jesus' name, there will be results.
Yes.
Now, something else. Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Nothing happens. Why? Because you're asking outside that realm. When you're in the spirit and say in Jesus' name, heaven hears it on the spot and answers it. And here it says, because he has known my name. You don't know that name unless you're in the spirit. It says so right here. It says you can't know the name unless you're in. He shall call upon me. Here we go with what I said earlier. He shall call upon me and I will what? That's it. Prayer, therefore, is possible only in that realm. And the answer to prayer comes only in that realm. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Therefore, people who are in the spirit can also have trouble. But the Bible says God will be with you in that trouble if you're in the spirit. So I'm going to say something now. Don't let this shock you. If you're living outside in the spirit, you will have troubles without Jesus. But if you live in the Spirit, you'll have troubles, but Jesus will be there. And He'll deliver you. So all you got to do is get in the Spirit. That's all.